God wants everyone who is presently married to commit to permanence in your present marriage. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This is the fourth message by Pastor Brian Grant in his mini-series on God's design for marriage. Tonight, we will hear how God's design for marriage between a man and a woman was from the beginning, that it be permanent, till death us do part. But sadly, far too many marriages end in premature collapse. So this evening, we invite you to listen as Pastor Grant takes from the scriptures several principles that will help marriages to survive and revive. Here is Pastor Grant with the first part of Building a Marriage That Lasts.
John and Mary had been fighting over the purchase of a new car. He wanted a new truck, and she wanted a new sports car. The discussion started to get heated. Because Mary said, John, I'm expecting something that can go from 0 to 150 in 9 seconds. And that's all there is to it. She said, my birthday is coming up, and there had better be something that can go from 0 to 150 in 9 seconds, or it's going to get awfully lonely for you around here. Well, her birthday came, and she went outside to look in the garage to see what he had bought. But there was no Tesla. There was no Ferrari Sports. There was not even a Toyota sports car. There was nothing there. Well, she was fuming, and she went inside to find him, to find John. But John was not there, so she decided to go to the bathroom to get dressed. And lo and behold, there it was. Beautifully wrapped with a red ribbon in the bathroom on the floor. And when she unwrapped it, it was something that could go from 0 to 150 in 9 seconds. It was a scale. Now, gentlemen, I can assure you that if you want to, we're wrapping up our series on building a marriage that lasts. This is the last message in that series. And I would like to remind you, just to inform you, that if you decide to buy your wife a scale, that is not the best way to build a marriage that lasts. Amen? Well, on a serious note, this message, you may say, well, why are you preaching about building a marriage that lasts? We're not even married. Well, this marriage is really for everybody. It's for those who are married. It's for those who are hoping to get married. And it's for those who just want to know how I can be a blessing to somebody who has challenges in their marriage. So I hope you're going to stay focused and make notes. If you're here for the first time, in the bulletin that was handed out, there is a sheet. We'd like to help you to keep reminded about what was shared. So I encourage you, there are going to be a bullet points put on the screen behind, and you can follow along as best you can. Here's the first thing for you to add to your notes if you desire to take notes. Here's the first thing. We must build. We're talking about building a marriage that lasts. And here's the most essential thing. We must build on Christ, the only solid foundation. Amen? We must build on Christ, the only solid foundation. It was just beautifully read for us, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. And I just want to reread verses 21 and 20 to 23, where Jesus, as he speaks, he says, not everyone, listen carefully, everybody, listen to what Jesus said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Some people have the idea that everybody is going to heaven. I want to tell you, I don't want to burst your bubble, but I need to tell you the truth. It ain't so. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but He who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? There are a lot of religious people who are going to say, God, did we do all this? And Jesus said, and I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In these verses, Jesus indicated that some religious people who think they're on the road to heaven are in for a big surprise. For despite all the good works they may have done, Jesus said he will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. My friend, religion and religious deeds, you know, some of us have the idea that all I need to do is to be religious, but Jesus is telling us, listen, you can join as many churches as you want to. I told the story about one of the presidents of Liberia. He wasn't sure which was the right church, so he joined a whole bunch of churches because he said, listen, I can't be wrong. One of these must be the right one. But my friend, you can be baptized, you can join all the churches you want. That alone cannot save you, because salvation requires a personal decision where we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. Have you done that? Have you ever invited Jesus Christ to cleanse you of your sin? Have you repented of your sin and invited him to come into your heart and into your life? That's how salvation begins. And my friend, listen, when we get saved and we are committed to walking with Jesus, he will help us to build, because we're building on the right foundation. Are you building on the right foundation? You see, in verses 24 to 27, Jesus contrasted two builders. Verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So what's the big deal there? This is somebody who heard the word of God and did what? And does them. Not just hearing, but doing the word of God. He says, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But he said, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. You know, there are a lot of folks who go to church, but they don't do what God says. They don't obey the word of God. He says, you can go to church, you can join whatever you want to, unless you're obeying the word of God. You are like a foolish man who's building on the sand. He says, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and great was its fall. Listen, God wants us to build on Christ, the only solid foundation. Amen? Here's what Jesus wants us to grab a hold of. You see, sometimes all may be going well until the big storm comes. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say to you this morning, for sure, I know that my anchor will hold when the storms of life comes. Because I remember when I was 9 years old, I prayed and received Jesus Christ into my heart and into my life. And by his grace, we're trying step by step to walk with Jesus and to follow him. Listen, are you walking with Jesus? Are you living for Jesus? Here's what God wants us to grab a hold of. Write this in your notes. Jesus Christ is the only solid foundation. Amen? And when we build our lives on him and obey his word, he will enable us to stand firm in life's greatest storms. Listen, this part of the message is not just for those who are married. It's for all of us. For all of us need to be building our lives on Jesus. But if you are married, when we build on Christ, it helps us in our marriage, because we're building on the only firm and solid foundation. I can sing in my heart, from my heart, on Christ the solid rock. Do I have anybody else who can sing that today? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Write this in your notes, sir. If we neglect the message of Christ and refuse to obey him, there are storms ahead that will totally destroy us. I'm only telling you what we just read in God's word. God's word is telling us that there are storms coming. Oh, we're not talking about just the storms. Listen, we are seeing some stormy times these days, aren't we? But God is saying there are storms that will come in your life, in your marriage. And when we build on Christ, that solid rock, he will enable us and help us to stand. I pray that God may cause that all of us today, whether we're single or not, will make a decision to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and to walk with him. First, we must build on Christ. But there's one other thing I think I left in your notes. Last thing, we must ensure the Lord Jesus Christ is at the center of our lives and our marriage. Amen? Here's the second thing I want you to put in. Second point I want to make this morning of the 4 points we want to share with you. Listen, build your marriage with a commitment to permanence. Build with a commitment to permanence. You know, there's a couple here, right here in row number 2. Here they are, right here at this corner. Yesterday, they celebrated not 10, 20, 30, or 40 years of marriage. They celebrated 50 years of marriage. And at the end of the service, we're going to have a brief recommitment, a prayer for them before we go downstairs to eat. Amen. Build your marriage with a commitment to permanence. And I can say for them, they were committed to permanence. When they got married, they made a decision that it was until death us do part. Amen. And when we make a commitment to permanence, it makes a big difference. Amen. Central to God's plan for marriage, write this in your notes. Central to God's plan for marriage is a commitment to permanence. Central to God's plan for marriage is a commitment to permanence. Turn with me to the very first book in the Bible. And even if you don't know your way around the Bible, you can find this one. It's the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse number 24. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. And Jesus says, God says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. You know, this text tells us that when God put the first married couple, he said, we should leave and we should cleave. Now, let's be clear. Did Adam and Eve have a father and a mother? No, they did not. So since Adam and Eve had no father or mother to leave, this verse is clearly establishing a principle. Don't miss this. God was establishing a principle, and so from the very beginning, as he introduced marriage, he made it very clear that one of the key principles in marriage is that we should both leave our parents and cleave to each other. Can I get an amen about that? We should both leave. I wish I had time to talk to Mama, because sometimes Mama don't want him to leave. Mama believes he should call every day. Every day Johnny should call me. Every day Johnny should come by. No, Johnny shouldn't be coming by every day. And Mommy, if you're one of those mommies who's trying to get Johnny to come by, I beg you, start changing your ways and encourage Johnny to not be cleaving to you, but to cleave to Mary, his wife. Are you cleaving to your mate? If you're presently married, whether you were previously married, listen, even if you have been divorced and remarried, it does not matter. God wants everyone who is presently married to commit to permanence in your present marriage. Amen? Everybody. Sometimes we miss that. Whether it's, if you're married right now, stay there. Amen? Stay there. Commit to permanence. For love thrives best when a husband and wife are both committed to permanence. A few years ago, I shared the results of a study done by Drs. Linda Waite and Maggie Gallagher, co-authors of The Case for Marriage. And here was a very interesting finding. Couples participating in a national survey were asked to rate their marriage on a scale of 1 to 7. Some of those who rated their marriage a horrid 1 out of 7. Listen, 1 out of 7 is pretty bad. I can hardly imagine what it's like to be a 1 out of 7. But some of those who were rated their marriage a 1 out of 7 were given the option to stay there and be counseled, to stay in their marriage and be counseled. And a number of them chose to stay in their marriage and receive counseling, while a number decided, hey, I'm out of here. I ain't living in a 1 out of 7 marriage. If it was even a 3.5, but a 1, I'm done. Now, here's the study. Here's, stay with me. 5 years later, I know somebody, whether here or on the radio or where, somebody's listening who is in a 1 out of 7 or a 1.5 out of 7 marriage. Amazingly, 5 years later, 77% of those who had rated their marriage 1 out of 7. When I read it, I had a hard time believing it. 77% of those who rated their marriage 1 out of 7 and had received counseling, now that's important, they got help, were now rating their marriage a 6 out of 7. What a turnaround! While the vast majority of those who gave up and walked away were still experiencing turbulent times in their lives, they assume if I get rid of this 1 out of 7 mate, I'm free. But they were still experiencing turbulence in their lives. My friend, may God help us. The bottom line is God's ways are always best. So when God says we must commit, he's serious. It makes a difference if we commit and ask God for help. So if you're currently married, whether you're in a 1 or 2 or even a 3 out of 7 marriage, I urge you to commit to permanence. And I urge you to commit to permanence, but to seek help. Sometimes we don't want to, I don't want nobody in my business. Can I be honest with you? If you're in a 1 out of 7 marriage, everybody's already in your business. You might realize it, but everybody starts to have picked up that there's a lot of drama going on in your house. So you may as well fix it. You may as well get help. And if you say we don't know who to come to, we will help you right here at GCA. By the grace of God, we have seen God do some mighty things in some troubled marriages. And we would love to help you if you would like us to. Amen. A mom's teenage daughter was becoming increasingly rebellious. And one night the police called her to come and get her daughter, who had been arrested for drunk driving. The teenager had been driving. Mom is called. Of course, mom went to pick her up. Not a word was spoken between them. Mom just picked her up. Everybody was silent. They were silent the rest of that day. They were silent the rest of the next day. But late that afternoon, mom presented her daughter a small gift-wrapped box. When the daughter opened the box, guess what was in it? You won't guess. It was a small rock. Poor girl was wondering, what in the world? Why is mom giving me a rock? Is she trying to tell me my head is as hard as a rock? Mom says, no, pick up the rock and look what's underneath. The daughter picked up the rock and read, there was a card underneath the rock. And when she read, here's how the, you want to hear what the card said? When she read it, her eyes filled with tears, because here is what the rock said. This rock is more than 2 million years old. Some of you may argue how long it, whether it's 2 million or not. This rock is more than 2 million years old. And mom in her handwriting said, and that's how long it will take before I give up on you. Some of you need to send a daughter or a son. There's some son or daughter who needs to hear from some of us. I'm not preaching about parenting today. But there are some of you who have parents, have children who have strayed and you're so angry, you want to have nothing to do with them. Perhaps they need to get a card from you. Something that lets them know, I will never give up on you. No matter how far you may go, I will always love you. I think I heard somebody sing that song. Listen. It's wonderful that most parents are committed to loving their children. But it's a pity some of those same parents who are committed to loving their children for life are not committed to loving their spouse for life. Despite the vow they made. Am I right? There was a vow made? Despite the vow they made to permanence. Sadly, it's easier for us to commit to our children, so to our spouses. So here's a takeaway I'd like you to write down. Whether you're divorced or remarried or you've never been divorced, but if you are married, write this down. Problems will occur in every marriage, but let us commit to permanence. Let our spouses know, I will always love you, even when sometimes I don't like you. Leave that part off. Don't put that in the card. Amen. So here's the third thing. You're taking notes. Here's the third thing we want to talk about. Build with a commitment to showing forgiveness. Build with a commitment to showing forgiveness. I want to take you here to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I just wanted to pick something from this text. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Let me just say this, that this passage is not necessarily written in the context of marriage. So it applies, we may as well deal with some other issues while we're at it, because if you have somebody in your life, whether they are a church member or a family member, and you are a bent out of shape, it says, as the elect of God, if you're a born-again believer, one of those who has been elected and chosen by God, he says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, boy, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If you have a complaint against anyone, as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. May God help us to forgive.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.